Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung, and welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. No, I am not Gary, Dave, or Sam. These guys are away. They have a couple of days. They had to be away from the broadcast. And since the first team was not going to be able to be here, they asked the second team to come in. So I'm thrilled with the privilege and opportunity to be able to sit in to Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and Dave Kistler. You pray that they'll have some great activities as they are away from these microphones. But we're looking forward to spending today with you. I've got two broadcast partners that are going to be joining me in just a moment, David Dolan. David is a longtime journalist in the Middle East. He served in Lebanon. He served in Israel. He's been into Egypt and Syria and Jordan. He's been all over the Middle East for over 35 years. He has been a journalist in that region of the world, a very key region to understand what God is doing in the last days. You heard the intro of this broadcast, and in the Gap Today is looking at the activities of this world in light of what the Bible has to say about it. By the way, at the 12:30 mark, I'm going to have another broadcast partner, Dr. Rob Congdon, who lived in the European Union for a number of years. He's in and out of the European Union today. He has great insight into what is happening as it relates not only to the European Union, but the Ukraine. He's somewhat of an expert on Russia and Vladimir Putin. You do not want to miss that conversation. It comes up at the bottom of the hour. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy. You know, each and every one of us have a world view, and that's what Sam and Gary and Dave are involved with every single day, helping you to try to understand the world as it's unfolding, current events, political activities, and then coming to a biblical understanding. That's how you have a world view. You have to understand God's Word, and in particular, the prophetic passages of God's Word. Now, let me tell you why that is the case. You see, God knows the future. God knows what's going to happen. Thus, if we're going to make decisions today based upon what's going to happen tomorrow, we better know today what's going to happen tomorrow. I had the opportunity speaking at the Pentagon one time to a group of generals, and as I began to address them in a Bible study, I said, fellows, today you will make key decisions in this world that affect tomorrow. So again, I brought that same thought to their mind. You better understand today what's happening tomorrow. And the Bible, as we study through it, helps us to understand what's happening tomorrow. So what we're going to do in the next hour is we're going to look at some of the current events. I brought my two broadcast partners, Dave Dolan and Dr. Rob Congdon. They'll be coming to these microphones. In just a moment, I'll talk with Dave. And I'll take a moment throughout the broadcast or two here or there to give you insight from God's prophetic word. Again, let me introduce to you now David Dolan. This man has written many books. He is a world traveler. He has been in the Middle East for over 35 years. He used to work for the CBS Radio Network. I'd like for him to tell you why he no longer works for CBS. That is a very interesting story. But David is on top of all the events that are happening, and we're so glad to be able to bring him to these microphones. David, why don't we just introduce you to everybody by telling them why you're no longer a CBS radio producer there in the Middle East.
Well, Jimmy, first of all, it's good to be with you, and I want to say hello to all your listeners there. I'm mostly in the East Coast, I guess, but who knows where in today's world. Yes, I was with CBS for 12 years, began in 1988. With the outbreak of the first Palestinian uprising, I was hired as a backup radio reporter for the main reporter, and I continued in that role, and sometimes I took over his role because he would leave the country for periods of time or whatever, and I would be the main reporter. I covered the Gulf War in 1991 after the first Palestinian uprising, and then the peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians, and then Jordan in the 90s, the rise of Hezbollah, the rise of Hamas, And then the second Palestinian uprising began in the year 2000, and just about a week into it, I was let go of by CBS. They said for economic reasons, but you and I know that there was more to it. Hanan Ashrawi, a Palestinian legislator, very articulate in English, she complained about some things that I'd said, one of them being that I called the Temple Mount in Jerusalem the Temple Mount. The Arabs didn't like that. They complained to CBS, and the network execs came up with the solution, Jimmy, that I would call it a holy site sacred to both Muslims and Jews. Well, I only had 35, 40 seconds to tell any story on the radio, and not even that most of the time, so I was going to be spending 10 seconds talking about something that didn't clarify what I was talking about, and I pointed out that it's also sacred to Christians as well as Jews and Muslims, so you'd have to call it a holy site sacred to Christians, Muslims, and Jews instead of just saying Temple Mount, which everybody recognizes in America pretty much. And they didn't like that, and there were other things, and so they let go of me, and as I've told people since then, I was sad to go, but on the other hand, I don't have that big CBS eye looking out over me all the time now and telling me what to say and what not to say. I guess I was a little bit more on the conservative side politically than their normal reporter, and that bothered some people, and so they got rid of me.
Well, not only politically, David, but prophetically as well. That's what that spot is called. That's what God calls it, the Temple Mount, and I'm satisfied for that title of it. But indeed, I understand that you have to be politically correct when sometimes you're on one of the major news networks. David, let's get right into some conversation that will help us understand some of the current events unfolding. For example, earlier this week, Prime Minister Netanyahu went to the White House, met with President Obama. Now, this was the first face-to-face meeting in some 13 months. The relationship had been very rocky over through those last 13 months. And basically, that was the Iranian nuclear deal that really tore down those relationships, was it not?
Well, it was, Jimmy, but it did really begin with the push by John Kerry, Secretary of State, soon after taking over from Hillary Clinton in 2012 in that position, his decision to focus on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and to put as much time and effort as he could into solving that. Well, you and I talked about it at the time, and I noted how none of the experts said this was the right time to pursue that, with ISIS coming on, with everything going on in Syria, with Iran and the nuclear program, with, at that time, great turmoil in Egypt and Libya and other countries. Still turmoil there, but not as bad as it was then. That Israel simply was preoccupied with all these other problems and couldn't be focused on the Palestinian issue at that time. There was no chance of a resolution. Well, Kerry pushed it through with President Obama's blessing. It, of course, failed, and in its failure...
And I think we better take a break.
I'm sorry, in its failure, we had a
moment right here on Stand in the Gap Radio. Keep the dial set right where it is. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Tax laws are changing. Do you know how to navigate these changes so you don't pay more taxes than needed? These are very confusing times for tax planning and preparation. Don't wait until April. Do your tax planning now before the end of the calendar year while changes can still be made. This is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
This day, November 12, 1620, was the Pilgrims' first full day in America. It took over 2 months for the 103 of them, cramped between the decks on the tiny Mayflower, to cross the freezing North Atlantic. They intended to sail to Jamestown, but were blown off course by violent storms and landed at Plymouth Rock instead. Governor William Bradford wrote, "Being thus arrived, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils, again to set their feet on the firm and stable earth."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Thank you very much, Jimmy DeYoung here. The second team has come in for the first team. Sam, Gary, and Dave, they're away for a couple of days. The Best Of is a program for tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. They're going to go back and go over some of the great information they've passed along to you on this broadcast. This is a key broadcast. We look at current events today in light of Bible prophecy. And I have two broadcast partners with me, David Dolan. He's standing by, longtime journalist in Israel throughout the entire Middle East is where he served for over 35 years. And then Dr. Rob Congdon, going to join me at the bottom of the hour. He's an expert on the European Union and the potential for a revival of the old Roman Empire. Don't dare miss my conversation with Rob. Hey, let's be staccato if we can. I was asking you about the meeting and the breakdown between the Israeli government and the Obama administration. Prime Minister Netanyahu coming out against Obama in his addresses to the United States Congress, that caused a division. But out of that meeting there at the White House earlier this week, what do you think? Does anything come out of it? Prime Minister Netanyahu said it was a good meeting. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think Netanyahu said that because it's good just to meet. And, you know, he did emphasize that the U.S.-Israeli relationship remains very strong on very many levels, although, of course, on the politically correct level, it hasn't been so good. And, of course, the Iranian issue has been the main one. But as I was saying, also the American administration's push for a peace with the Palestinians wasn't very welcomed in Israel. That led, many believe, to this new round of violence. And certainly the Iranian nuclear deal is considered to be a disaster in Israel, an absolute disaster. And so, of course, the prime minister made that clear as well. But as he said afterwards, it's water under the bridge now. We recognize it's been approved by the American legislature. It's the law now, and we have to live with it and deal with it, and we're trying to do basically damage control is what he was saying. And he seems to have been satisfied with President Obama's answers in response to that, that Israel would continue to have America's back and that America would make sure Iran kept that nuclear deal. The Israelis are skeptical.
Yeah, you know, it seems like Prime Minister Netanyahu said, here's reality, now let's live with it. Well, let's talk about that peace process. You and I have talked about it on other broadcasts. And when we've said basically the peace process, and you've been covering it for a long time, it looks like it's dead in the water. And in fact, Obama said, I'm not going to do anything to try to rekindle the peace process. Do you think that's the case? And it's probably a good decision by Obama.
Very good decision, Jimmy, and the decision that should have been made from the get-go under John Kerry. That's what the Israelis were saying in 2012. The time is not right. Things are falling apart all around us. The Palestinians are divided. Hamas still has the Gaza Strip. That's a disaster zone. We have everything going on in Syria and Lebanon. Car bomb there today, Jimmy, that's killed another 18 people. Just a disaster, and there's no chance of peace with the Palestinians, and yet they pushed it, and it led to a new round of violence. Well, clearly now is not the time, and so it was a wise decision for the Obama administration to say, this looks over for the time being, we'll just let it rest for now.
Well, then what about that two-state solution? I know that the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, came out in other meetings he had in Washington before he returned to Israel. He said he's still wanting to work towards the two-state solution, which means that would be Israel and a Palestinian state. How be it? There's never been a Palestinian state before, has there?
There hasn't, Jimmy, and the vision of such a state is so different between the two sides. The Israelis want a demilitarized state, a state that they would basically run the security over. They want to still retain forces along the Jordan River in the east and some other things that the Palestinians simply reject. So there's really no chance of such a state emerging that both sides agree to. Palestinians trying to just create it unilaterally, but so far that hasn't led to very much, and it's not likely to in the future. So this conflict, it's going to continue. They just have to put a pause on it right now. The Israelis far more focused on these other issues all around them.
I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu using some great PR tactics, as he didn't even mention the Iranian threat. But Iran is still Israel's number one threat. Is a preemptive strike still on the table? Would the Israeli Defense Force go after the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction in Iran, in your opinion, David?
Well, Jimmy, various Israeli officials have said so, that this is definitely, the defense minister and others have said that this is remains very much on the table. Certainly, the president and Netanyahu mainly discussed Iran. That is by far Israel's main concern, and especially now that Iranian Revolutionary Guards are massing in Syria. They've been operating there for several years in the war there, but now their leaders are heading there. They're sending in far more troops, far more weaponry. This bothers the Israelis very much. Of course, Hezbollah allied with them and all that they're doing, and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. These are the things that Israel's focused on and the things that they want to deal with. But if they have to deal militarily, Jimmy, they will. If they have to do it alone, they will. They cannot allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon, as they've said, or even have the great potential of doing that. And they believe this agreement leaves them with all the ability to do that, and fairly rapidly if they choose to do so. The Israelis are probably not going to live with that for very long.
David, it's quite a bit of speculation as to if indeed and when that preemptive strike may take place. You think it's sooner than later? Do you think ultimately they're going to have to do it to be able to shut down the Iranian threat of trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth?
I think it may be sooner, Jimmy, in the sense that the Israelis don't see much to lose in terms of relations with the United States, because they're already not very good. They already know the Israelis, that the Americans would not be thrilled with them taking any action. But President Obama did again express that he realizes Israel is in grave danger from Iran, that Iran is still a nasty actor in the region and is doing various nefarious things. And, you know, the Israelis arguing that the release of these billions of dollars that were sanctioned against them will mean that that's all the more the case. And so I think, you know, the Israelis probably will sooner than later, Jimmy. And Netanyahu, I think, is thinking very hard about this. The consequences are grave, but the consequences of inaction are considered even graver. But we'll just have to see, Jimmy. There's so many factors at work of the Syrian situation as well. It may just be, Jimmy, that this happens on its own, that other conflict, especially in Lebanon and Syria, that it just gets out of hand, and in the midst of that, Israel takes some action against Iran's program. That is a real possibility as well.
You brought to our attention just a moment ago Hezbollah, the notorious terrorist organization there in southern Lebanon, sent into the Middle East in 1982 by the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini when he set up that Islamic Republic there in Iran. There was a headline in the Jerusalem Post today. This is as fresh as just moments ago. 150,000 missiles aimed towards Israel by Hezbollah. That is not going to go away, is it?
It's not, Jimmy, and we saw the Israelis take air action near Damascus Airport against Hezbollah weapons caches, they said, that were there. That was this week. That's a very bold action, considering that Russia is now operating in that area with its aircraft. I presume the Israelis notified the Russians they were doing this, but that just shows how serious they take the threat from Hezbollah. Hezbollah is really Israel's greatest military threat right along its borders. It's become one of the biggest armies in the world, in effect, with all its weaponry, and Iran is the main funder and provider of all of that. And so if there isn't a direct Iranian-Israeli clash in the near term, I think there's very likely going to be one with Hezbollah, and you know, the Israelis would win that, but it would be nasty because, as you pointed out, they've got all sorts of missiles aimed at every really target in Israel, and that means every civilian center as well.
Now let's just move a little bit to the east along Israel's northern border, Syria, right there on the Syrian side in the Golan Heights. They're massing their military operation under Bashar Assad. Islamic State's down there, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah. They're threatening to cross that border and take over the Golan Heights, which was lost in 67, aren't they?
And that, Jimmy, is probably the hottest spot right now in the whole area, because indeed they are. They're massing forces there. There is still conflict, of course, in Syria, so it's not as if they're all arm-in-arm, locked arm-in-arm, looking at Israel, but they all hate Israel, especially Islamic State and Hezbollah and Iran, and, you know, they're on different sides, one Shiites, one Sunni, but they have one thing they share in common, a hatred of the Jewish people and a desire to take Jerusalem back for Islam. They may compete amongst themselves to see who can do that, but it is a grave threat, and the Israelis are also, of course, beefing up their forces in the north as a result.
And inside the state of Israel, there's violence continuing. David, about 20 seconds, if you will. This violence actually started on the Temple Mount at the beginning of the Jewish holy days in September. It's not going away. It's continuing to intensify, isn't it?
Well, and it's being egged on by the Palestinian Authority, by other Arab leaders in the region, by ISIS, by Hezbollah, by everyone. So under those conditions, no, I don't think it's going to be stopping anytime soon.
David Dolan, longtime journalist in the Middle East, our broadcast partner here on Stand in the Gap Today, the radio broadcast. I'm Jimmy DeYoung, filling in for Sam, Gary, and Dave. We're going to take a break here. David, thank you so much for participating with us today.
You're welcome, Jenny. God bless.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Rob Congdon is standing by. Let me just tell you that you need to look at Ezekiel chapter 38, Daniel chapter 11. You see the players that David and I have been talking about. They're part of an end-time scenario that Bible prophecy will bring forth, and it will be fulfilled. Be right back.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The nation's highest military award goes to retired Army Captain Florent Groberg. He grabbed and shoved a suicide bomber away from other troops in Afghanistan in 2012.
By pushing the bomber away from the formation, the explosion occurred farther from our forces and on the ground instead of in the open air.
President Obama with Captain Groberg at the White House. He needed 33 surgeries to save his leg. Four people did die in that attack, but it would have been more. Not a lot of layoffs lately.
New applications for unemployment benefits were unchanged last week at a seasonally adjusted 276,000. The new number from the Labor Department could encourage the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates next month. The Fed has kept its short-term interest rate near zero since December 2008.
Fox's John Decker. Midday on Wall Street, the Dow is down 203 points. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Last Thursday evening, I had the honor of being the keynote speaker for the Life Choices Pregnancy Care Center Banquet in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Life Choices is a great pro-life ministry that features pregnancy care centers in three towns in western Pennsylvania, Katanning, Butler, and Indiana. All three centers have ultrasound machines which help abortion-minded pregnant girls and women who come into the center see the life that is growing inside them and in many cases then choose life. These centers, like the dozens like them all across Pennsylvania, are on the front lines of the battle to save unborn babies from the likes of Planned Parenthood and other abortion centers that sell death as a solution. If you agree with me that the right thing to do is to choose life, as God tells us in Deuteronomy 30, then do your part and financially support a pregnancy care center ministry near you. To be a partner in their life-saving services is simply awesome.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
What an opportunity God has given me. I'm Jimmy DeYoung, everybody, and I'm filling in for the first team. They got the second team at the microphones. Sam, Gary, and Dave had to be away for a couple of days, and boy, they asked me to fill in. What a joy it is. Live radio, I love it. It's exciting. It's invigorating. And we just had a great time of conversation with David Dolan, one of the broadcast partners that I always use on a weekly basis on my national radio broadcast entitled Prophecy Today. It's on Saturday afternoons. You can get live streaming from our website, prophecytoday.com, if you'd like to do that. It comes on from 1 till 2:30 every single Saturday afternoon, and it's on a network of stations across the entire United States. If there is a broadcast network affiliate near you, be sure to join us and listen to us. We keep you up to date, looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. Well, Dr. Rob Congdon is standing by. We're going to be talking to him in just a moment. I've told you that we want to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy because this helps us to solidify our own worldview. What in the world is God doing at this time in history? Well, that's what we need to know. And you look at current events first, but then you go immediately to the Word of God and you determine the scenario that he laid out there for the end times. And it's very plainly presented to us because 17 Old Testament books are prophetic in nature. But remember, all of the books of the Bible, all 66 have Bible prophecy in them. Of course, the book of Revelation and the New Testament, a key factor in understanding the end times. Let me just touch base with what David Dolan and I were talking about. Israel back in the land, Ezekiel chapter 37, is an absolute. An alignment of nations surrounding the Jewish state and trying to take them off the face of the earth, well, that's an absolute as well. That's Ezekiel 38 and 39. Remember Psalm 83, verse 4 over there in Psalm 83. It says that a group of leaders of nations of the world that hate Israel, the Jewish state of Israel, are going to go into a council meeting, come out and say, let's wipe them off the face of the earth that Israel's name may be forgotten forever. Well, that's the plan for these nations of haters of Jewish people and God's plan for the end times in that Middle Eastern part of the world. And so that region of the world is key to understanding what God is doing today. But may I tell you, there's another region that you need to keep a focus on. That is the area of Europe, which was the old Roman Empire many years ago and is in the process now, as I understand what I'm watching, and Dr. Rob Condon, when he comes to these microphones in a couple of seconds, is going to help solidify that. And in fact, the old Roman Empire is in the process of being reformed, and everything that's happening there in that region of the world. Another key region to keep your focus on as you're looking at current events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Rob Congdon is an author of several books. He travels all over the world. He speaks all over the world. He is a man who knows what's happening because he lived in the European Union for a number of years, goes in and out on a yearly basis there to speak and to encourage the people there to understand the prophetic word of God. He is a student of the word of God, but that then makes him a teacher of Bible prophecy as well. Rob, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I appreciate you coming along with us today.
Well, it's good to join you and be with you. And as you said, to be on live radio is always exciting.
It always is invigorating. Let's get right to what I want to be talking to you about in the half-hour segment that we have with you, Rob. The migrant problem in Europe looks to me, now you may give me a different idea, but it looks to me to be the major problem. It used to be economics that was the problem, with Greece almost defaulting. But now it seems like the influx of these peoples coming out of Africa, out of the Middle East, that is the key focus on what's going on by the European leadership, is it not?
Well, that's right. The European leadership, it's very interesting. They seem to have, if you want to call it their Achilles heel, from my viewpoint, is they can only focus on one problem at a time. They can't handle multiple problems. They can't multitask. The economic crisis hasn't gone away, but that has been pushed aside. Some of the other problems they've faced have been pushed aside, and now it's all focused on the immigration that is occurring within the European Union and the tensions it's creating in that union, especially among the leadership. It's their prime focus now, and again, as I keep stressing, they can only focus on one thing at a time.
Well, Rob, the flooding of the European continent, and in particular the European Union, of these migrants, is it being motivated by a need to be able to sustain life? In other words, go get a job someplace in Europe? Or is there another motivation, i.e. the Muslim world wanting to infiltrate Europe?
As I've looked at it very carefully, and I've been doing quite a bit of research into it and some sources I have over there, it appears to me very clearly that we have a movement, and the old, I think most people are familiar with the 80-20 rule, that 80% is one thing and 20 is always the other. In this case, the statistics are starting to suggest that 80% of the migrating people are coming for reasons other than economic. It is not coming due to persecution. In fact, there's actually a relatively small amount of Christians leaving the Muslim countries because of that. The big move seems to be single men entering into Europe. And that brings up a real key concept in Islam, is that you must regain territory that was once held by Islam. You have to regain it again. So many are speculating this movement is an attempt to move Islam into Europe with the idea of regaining lost lands and territory and control. And that, of course, to the EU would be a major threat to the EU. The leadership has not been very outspoken on this. Whether they recognize it or not, certain individual leaders within the EU are recognizing it, such as the president of Hungary. So it seems to be that's what the real issue is. It's not these poor refugees who are suffering great persecution who have to flee, but rather people coming, yes, for economics, and that's why the target is primarily Germany, because that's where jobs are, that's where money is. But the path along the way is a historic path of Islam's movement into Europe.
I saw a report, Rob, coming out of the European Union, the possibility of 20 million Muslims will infiltrate and try to cross the borders into Europe by the year 2020. Is that reality? Could that happen?
It seems to be a reality unless the EU closes down its borders. And remember, a fundamental principle of the EU is that it have open borders between countries. So all it means is that someone, individual, has to first of all get into any European Union country. Those are 28 countries they could get into. If they enter any of those 28 countries, they then are free to travel anywhere in the European Union without being stopped. And that's why Germany and Poland are big targets, because they're economically strong countries with lots of benefits. Sweden also is seeing the same inrush. But as I keep stressing, as we see these masses, and I think their statistics are probably right, could be 20 million by 2020, that means that as they go through, I like to see they'll leave a path, and that path will still be Islamic. And so if you draw it on a map, you're sweeping through a major portion of Europe.
And would it be a dangerous potential for the European Union, their existence with all of these Muslims coming into the country with their own agenda in mind?
Well, I think it would be, as I look at it, and I always try to look at it also from a prophetic standpoint, I think that ultimately it will be dealt with by the European Union, because I believe the European Union is probably the embryo of the reformed Roman Empire that we read in Scripture. Therefore, it'll continue on into the tribulation period. But what I'm starting to see is that this distraction, if you will, of Europe is opening up the possibility, and you mentioned it earlier, the Ezekiel 38 scenario, Russia and other Middle Eastern countries could well be involved with Israel and the European Union. They frankly can't be bothered to try to either stop it or interfere because they're preoccupied. So I'm starting to see that this is a potential diversion of the EU so that the Middle East can go into some of the prophetic aspects we see before the EU re-enters into the picture of the Middle East.
I've got to tell you, folks, I do not have a conversation with Dr. Rob Congdon on the political without going to the prophetic. And you heard him bring that to our attention right there. We're going to take a break here in a moment, and I'm going to come back and continue on, and we'll talk about the possibility of the revival of the Roman Empire. Some of the European leaders are talking and using that term empire. I want to know why that is the case. And we'll also touch base about the Ukraine. How does it play into this end time scenario that's found in God's Word? You may be surprised to understand the beginnings of the Ukraine and what part they do play in an end-time scenario that is unfolding right here. Dr. Rob Congdon standing by. We'll take a four-minute break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed the final judgment on the Jerusalem of his day. Could his words be the final words of judgment on America? His message was one of final judgment. No more warnings, no more time. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In verse 24, God said, "I'll destroy your nation because you've rejected my commands and despised my holy name. Therefore, my fearsome anger will come against you and no nation will stand against me." In that day, Israel deserved God's judgment. We in America should look in the mirror and consider our sins in light of Israel then. Materialism, apathy, ignorance, moral relativism, addictions of all types, bribery and corruption, rampant dishonesty, persecution of the righteous. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network urging you to hear and heed. Repent and call out to God now because our time is about up.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Stand in the Gap Today is the name of the broadcast. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Yeah, I'm the second team. I know the first team's away, Sam, Gary, and Dave. They had to be away for a couple of days. They asked me to fill in. What a joy and a privilege and an honor. I'm here in temporary studios in upstate New York, Lake George, New York, actually, a beautiful part, and right the edge of the Adirondack Mountains. I lived up here for about 12 years, even ran for United States Congress in this particular region. So it's been kind of fun walking down memory lane up here, and I'm so glad that I was able to help Sam, Gary, and Dave in this need that they had. And when you go to the second team, you have to do with what you do with. So thank you so very much for listening to us. A couple of neat broadcast partners, David Dolan in the first half hour, Dr. Rob Congdon in this last half hour. And Rob, I want to talk about three things before we have to conclude in about 10 minutes. I want to look at the neo-Nazi situation going on and developing in Europe. I want to look at the Ukraine and also the possibility of an empire and why the European Union leaders are using that phrase, empire. Talk to me about the neo-Nazis. Is that a real concern? Are they growing? Are they a threat to Europe?
Well, at this point, they are a group, and therefore they are a threat. But they are not a major group, nor do they represent the major thinking in Europe. They've been clearly visible in Germany, which we wouldn't be surprised at. And again, it's a reaction. It's trying to gain or get on the coattails of the problems that are emerging over this immigrant movement. And, of course, the government, Chancellor Merkel, is very strong at allowing these masses of people to come into Germany. So there is a great discontent in Germany among a good number of people. So the Nazis are playing up on that. I saw a recent sign that was put up by some of these immigrants, apparently, that said, your children will ultimately be praying to Allah, thanks to us. And so Nazis, this is their opportunity to try to revive their movement. So I think we need to watch it. I don't think at this point it is a major threat, either in German politics or among the German peoples. Memories are long in Europe, and the Nazis are still not a favored group.
Could it spread across all of Europe if indeed it's not curtailed?
Well, I think there would be other groups paralleling them rather than joining with them in terms of reaction against the incoming immigrants. So I guess I tend to not see them as this massive threat. I see them more as maybe a bit of a magnet drawing other groups, but those groups will maintain independence. That's one area that Europe is not as united as, if you will, the EU itself is united.
Well, with the immigrant situation, with the neo-Nazis developing some type of a base there in Germany and possibly across Europe, and, of course, with the Muslims coming into Europe, the focus is going to be on the Jews, and anti-Semitic activity for sure is going to be increasing in these next days ahead. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Regardless of the title of the group, regardless of their agenda and their mindset, the ultimate direction always turns against the Jewish people, anti-Semitism and anti-Israel. And that is definitely a cohesive aspect of all of the groups. Right now they're using the Muslim immigration as their rallying cry, but we know inevitably it always zeroes right back to the Jewish people, and it will. Prophetically, again, that's what we expect, the world to turn against Israel.
Early on this broadcast, I mentioned when I was introducing Dr. Rob Congdon that the region of the world that he is an expert on, the European Union, in fact, the entire continent of Europe, is key for an end-time scenario that is going to be played out. It will be fulfilled. God's word is absolute. We did not bring in the factor yet, Rob, and give me a couple of moments, if you will, about the Ukraine. What's significant? On the western border, you have the European Union and Ukraine. On the eastern border, you have Russia with their military might massed there on that eastern border. How does the Ukraine play into all of this?
Well, the Ukraine, the very essence of what started the whole problem in the Ukraine was its movement of the government in Kiev to the European Union, to become a member, to bring in NATO, which would put NATO right on the border of Russia. Therefore, it's kind of the powder keg that has started much of the movements of recent months and years. And it clearly, as far as I'm concerned, it was part of an empire. We talk about empires, of a former empire in history that eventually is the same land. It's called the Scythian Empire. Same land, same countries that we read as in our Bible in Ezekiel 38. It's called the land of Magog. That was the Scythian Empire. Ukraine was part of that empire. So I continue to believe that Ukraine is kind of a trigger that's going to help bring about the ultimate alliance in Gog-Magog. The European Union is fermenting situations there. NATO is stirring things up significantly. Russia is reacting. So, again, we see a stage being set, and I think this is a current event that could well lead to the stage of the land of Magog, the Battle of Gog of Ezekiel 38.
Hope you did not miss that, folks. Ukraine was a part of Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 2, which actually dates back to Genesis chapter 10, when the grandson of Noah, son of Japheth, went from where he was there after the flood was over, and he went north of the Black Sea there into that piece of geography we know as Russia and the Ukraine. What about NATO? It seems that NATO, Rob, is the military operation for the European Union. I think they'd like to have their own operation, but NATO is playing pretty hardball against Russia. They moved about 4,000 troops over there to that Russian border, haven't they?
That's right. In a recent interview with the head of NATO, he was talking about their new exercises and how they're dealing with threats on their borders. And I thought it was significant. When he used the word threats on their borders, he suggested that the border was this border of Russia to Ukraine. Well, that's not NATO at this point. It's not their border, but clearly they're moving that way. When the interviewer for Euronews interviewed them, he said, well, clearly what you, NATO, are doing are offensive operations. Offensive meaning attacking rather than defending. And NATO, he kind of wiggled around it and said, well, you know, we've got to prepare for anything. If you look at the history of NATO, it's trying to regain its power. By the way, militarily, it's 6 times stronger than Russia's military today. But it's regaining its influence in Europe. And as you've said, and I've long held, that the EU is going to need an army soon, or military soon, and the easiest way is to find one already established, and that's NATO. So we need to keep watching NATO as they keep going. Russia has to get it.
Give me a real quick answer, if you will, Rob. What about the use of the word empire with the European Union leaders? That's a precursor for the revival of an empire, is it not?
That's right. The empire, the leadership of the EU say they are an empire today.
They are an empire today, dear friends. You must understand that as we look at current events in light of biblical prophecy, everything's coming together. Ancient Jewish prophets 2,500 years ago wrote what God told them to write to help us to recognize the day in which we're living. What we've done on the podcast...
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.